Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Flame Entertainment and Sports. It's your boy, Rob, here. On this episode, I have a very special guest, Raul Ramos. Welcome to the show, Raul.
Hey, Rob. Thank you for inviting me.
Not for sure. No, it's an honor to have you here. So, obviously, a couple of days ago, you put out a report that the Baltimore Orioles are, like, heavily interested in Carlos Correa. So, once I saw that, I made sure to reach out to you because I'm a huge Correa fan. And when I see a team like Baltimore, who doesn't really attract like guys like Correa, and they're never really aggressive. It excites me as a Marlins fan. It gives me like more hope for like the teams that never spend, that maybe if one of them finally spends, then the other ones will follow. So yeah, I just kind of want to get like your overall thoughts on that whole, on Baltimore's like interest in Correa.
Well, again, the report was, or the report is, that the Baltimore Orioles are really interested in hiring Carlos Correa. They offer him and his group, right, 10 years, over $300 million before the lockout. But since then, he changed agents. As we know, his agent is Scott Boras. But I'm being told that the Orioles have a good relationship with Scott Boras.
Oh, that's great then. So would you say there's like significant amount of like interest from Correa to potentially become an Oriole?
I don't know. I don't know that part. Right. Okay. I was told that the offer was presented, and they received it. Right. Okay. So, but as you know, everything is a business. I'm guessing, and this is me guessing, they were waiting for the negotiations to see if the CBT will go higher to give the opportunity to other teams to bid on him. As you know, nothing has happened. the season is in jeopardy right now. But again, what I can tell you is that the Orioles are serious about pursuing Correa. They make him an offer. I can tell you that it's a top load in the front. The first 2 years are over $40 million a year. Actually, to be more exact, between 44 and 45. The last eight is about 29 and change. And the reason behind it is that they have a good cast of prospects, of young players. So the first 2 years, those players will be making less money. After that, they will get some type of raise. So given the flexibility of uploading more money in the beginning, they have more space to offer more money after year three.
That's a really smart like approach by the front officer. And it's interesting, just a little side note, because I never really talk about the Orioles. Like, that's not like a team you talk about. And like, I'm a Marlins fan because I'm loyal to all my teams here in Miami, but mm-hmm. Actually, I haven't even mentioned this on the podcast, but so my original co-host of this podcast, he actually just got a big job with the Baltimore Orioles. So that now I became an Orioles fan. So once I saw that report, I was like, all right, man, I hope they get Correa. I hope they make some big moves so my friend could be part of a winning team. You know what I mean?
You know what? Very good. And a lot of people are waiting to see if it's true or not, but it's true. It's a reliable source. I'm backing the source 100%. And I can tell you that that it's great for the city of Baltimore. Like, they have awful seasons. Last year, they lost 52 games. Some people are in favor, some people are against. They say, oh, but they need pitching. Yeah, well, they need a bit of everything. But you need to start with something. And then having one of the best farm systems in the country, you can put a figure like Correa in the middle and keep building around him. And that's what they want. And I've been told that, if you have not seen it, check it out. They have a lot of Latin prospects, including Cesar Prieto, the Cuban, Grayson Rodriguez, and so on. So they want to make a dent on the Latin community. That's good news.
Yes.
And and they want to build around Correa. They believe Correa is what they need to take them to the next chapter. Competing against the Yankees, Mets, Boston, and Tampa is no easy task. So they need to really compete. And what I've been told, Correa will be the first piece, but we can see, like, I guess they will need 2 years, and then probably in the third year is like where we could see more of an impact.
Got you. And I was actually going to ask you, so usually in sports, when guys like this go to different teams, other guys tend to like follow them, to try to mm-hmm. team up with them. Do you think that would be the case here in Baltimore if Correa were to join them? Or...
I don't know. I don't want to speculate. I'm not saying, first of all, let's make something clear. I'm not saying that Correa is going to sign with Baltimore. I am saying that Baltimore is serious about Correa and they offer him the money, the package that he's looking for, right?
Yeah.
Which is 10 years and over $350 million. Corey Seager, when he was signed, they gave him a lot of money and probably that raised Correa's price, right?
Yeah.
So, and Baltimore being a small market, what is considered a small market team, but they have their own TV. I think they own about 60% of the MASN network. They get a chunk of money. So, and they are supposedly spending around $40, $42 million this year so far. So they have the space. They have the ability to spend right now on someone that you need. And as we know, when you have a bad team, unfortunately, you need to overpay to attract good players. And it doesn't matter if it's Baltimore, if it's the Pirates, if it's, I don't know, Arizona. If you want to attract a good player, you need to overpay because there's no reason then for a player to go into a team like that and start a rebuilding process.
Not for sure. And by any chance, have you heard of any other players they'd be interested in? Like you said, they need help pitching wise. Like, I don't know if you have any insight on any other player they're interested in.
No, I don't. But what I know is that if you go into the prospects, Baltimore prospects, they have about five shortstop prospects on their top 30.
Wow.
So that's a lot of shortstops. So if they were able to get Correa, they will have five very good players that they could trade to make the team better. That I can tell you. But I'm not here to speculate who can come and follow Correa because I don't know. I only know the report that I'm able to provide to you guys.
Gotcha. Actually, like as I said earlier, I'm a Marlins fan. Correa was my number one guy. I know a lot of Marlins fans are, oh, no, we have Miguel Rojas, and he's the captain. But with me, I'm like, I just want to win. And the Marlins, obviously, we never go anywhere. So it's like, why not try to get Correa? But obviously, I don't think that's going to happen. But so speaking of the Marlins, what was your reaction the other day when Derek Jeter stepped down from his role as the CEO?
It was a low blow. It was unexpected. At the same time, you can see that he really wants to win. And for the reports, what I heard, and for the reports that came out, it's like he wanted more money to be able to compete with other teams. He wanted to reach the 85 to 90 win goal. And for that, he needed more money. And for whatever the reason, the other part of ownership didn't want to provide that money. And we know that he has always been a winner. And we had seen how he was able to regroup, to provide a better way of thinking, to indoctrinate those players into thinking differently. But unfortunately, now he's gone. sorry. So it's bad for the organization. We'll see if Dembo is able to keep up, if Kim and Jay is also able to keep hiring players or maybe through trades being creative. But it's a big blow for the Marlins, and that tells you how important for him was to win. He took a sacrifice of 3-4 years of losing in order to fix the Marlins. But it seems like he, being a player, he saw that not investing is not the way of winning. So I guess that was the cap, and he left.
It's also interesting though that it happened like at this like time, because right before the lockout, when you think about it, like the Marlins were being more aggressive than usual, getting Avisel Garcia, Joey Wendell, Jacob Stallings. Those are three solid guys that have, especially we need all the hitting we could get. Like we're pretty good in pitching, but also that, like, it's interesting because like we were making moves, then the lockout comes and now he's gone. It's like, I don't know if something happened during the lockout or it's.
And something that actually I heard from a good source is that Jorge Soler was interested in going to New Orleans to play.
Wow.
So he comes up from being the MVP, one of the best players on the World Series,
yeah,
and he's going to command some money. And I know that the Marlins, they got Abisail, and they spent a lot of money on him compared to some other contracts that they had offered in the past. But who knows? Maybe they can get Soler for a discount, maybe a small discount. But wow. I know that he's interested in playing for the Marlins, or at least he was when the year was there.
Well, that's like music to my ears, man. That makes me super happy. I'm a huge fan of his, and I know he lives here already. In the off season, I follow him on like social media. He's been out in like different restaurants here, and I'm guessing he trains down here too. So, man, I would be so happy if we're able to get him and add him, not only to the outfield, but especially hitting wise, man. Because like I said, hitting's been terrible here. Even the COVID season where we made the playoffs, we had no hitting. So you bring a guy like Soled here, a Cuban guy, more fans want to go to the games. It takes you back to Jose Fernandez, obviously Cuban. He was the face of the franchise. And I would go, when Jose Fernandez was going to pitch, the stadium would be packed. Any other game you would go to, it was empty. So a guy like Soled would also attract fans. I would be super happy.
So, like, I knew that. I don't know what's going to happen now, but I know that there was some interest from his part of signing with the Marlins. So, yeah.
Wow, no, that makes me happy. Just the fact that there's interest, man, that makes me super happy. Because I don't know what you think, but I think with our pitching staff, I think it's good enough to be a playoff team. It's just hitting, we're far away.
Well, you know what? Any team, they need different things. But the way that the Marlins were being rebuilt, they have young players. You need to fill the holes with trades or with free agents. So I guess they were going in the right way. Now, without Jeter, I don't know what's going to happen. But yeah, you guys had a great group of guys. Rojas, Alcantara, that... It's a fun group of guys to watch.
Not for sure. No, yeah, but yeah, and you saying that, yeah, the Soler thing, man, I'll be super happy. But I don't know. Do you, by any chance, do you have like a specific favorite team? Like, is there one team you cheer for more than the others? Or?
Well, when I grew up, I was a Yankee fan, and living in the tri-state area, I covered the Yankees and I covered the Mets for Con las Bases Llenas. I don't get upset when the Mets win. and actually I tend to root for the Marlins. I always like the Marlins from the very beginning. So yeah, I would say those teams. But no, what when you cover baseball, yeah, you may have a favorite team, but at the end, you like all teams, right? So
not for sure. Yeah, you're right. When you cover it, Yeah, if you want, yeah, this will wrap it up. But if you want, before I let you go here, man, you can let everyone know where they can find you.
Well, I'm in Twitter at Ramos Rauli. And I'm also in Instagram at Rauli Ramos 1. And you guys can follow me. I have my YouTube channel, It's Baseball Ahora, Baseball in English Ahora. And there you can, we go live Mondays and Thursdays at 8:30 p.m. And we do analysis. We do great interviews. We recently had David Concepcion. Wow. We had Jose Contreras. We had Tony Oliva.
Wow.
Enrique Rojas. We had Jose Cheo Cruz. So we have had a good lineup from the beginning of the year. And in the past, we had Louis Tien, Orlando Cepeda, Edwin Rodriguez, who used to be the manager for the Marlins. So go in there, subscribe, and you'll have a lot of fun watching those interviews.
Not perfect. I'll be sure to put all the links like in the description. But yeah, Raul, thanks again, man, for joining me. It was great to have you. I'd love to do it again.
Hey, Rob, thank you for the invitation. Good luck with your podcast. And you are sure. I'm sure we can talk more during the season. Hopefully, perfect. When there's a season.
Exactly. Amen. Yeah, hopefully soon. But thanks again. And thanks everyone for tuning in. Until next time, everyone, take care.